You are tuned to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM, your community radio station in East Central Illinois. That means listener supported. That's where you come in. You can see us, see our schedule, and have an opportunity to donate towards the operation of the station at weft.org on the web. Prairie Monk is coming up in a few moments when we have all the recording devices set up. That was Doc Watson's Windy and Warm, which appears on the compilation disc from which we play the theme song that you'll hear in a moment. And today is indeed a little windy and a little warm. Not so humid, so that's nice. We'll be with you in just a moment. I want to let you know at this time that the views and opinions expressed on WEFT are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of WEFT, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, or the other station volunteers. With that, we'll be with you in just a moment. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Thank you.
in my bones. Take this hammer and carry it to the captain. Tell him I'm gone. Tell him I'm gone. Tell him I'm gone.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial. And
I'm Bill Saylor today, subbing as engineer on the board at WEFT. Yes, not in the picture right now. I'm going to check that Dave is in the picture. Hey, we had a bonus track right there. The first bit of Spike Driver Blues, because today is a railroad discussion, Rails to Trails discussion. And it was Jerry Garcia and John Kahn, recorded in 1986 in California from... That's what it was from. So doing a little bit of something that I've mostly heard Doc Watson do.
Yeah, we have a mission here to talk to people about local, mainly local environmental issues. And Bill has been very helpful with that. So was associate with me for like 18 years or something.
Yep, that's what I tell people.
Uh-huh.
And so in the last 5 years almost, 4 or 5 years, Dave Watsani's been...
Yes.
Running the board for Dave's show and
Dave is
doing a lot of work, and so he's taking the weekend off.
He's gone to Girls Zone, where they're teaching girls how to use equipment.
Oh, okay. He didn't mention what it was.
So it's at Independent Meetings on right now. There's one seminar started at 11 o'clock. So,
it's Sunday morning. We're talking to you live. We will be recorded. It is August 2nd.
So we're doing something different today. We're putting a backdrop behind me. It's related to the prairie. If you get to see it, it has a roadside and a rail side, and that helps us with this program when it goes up on YouTube and now it goes to Banner Public Television. So you won't see this when we're doing radio, but our discussion today will be about rail trails and other things that sort of relate. And the backdrop counts. The backdrop, if you see it, has a compass plant prominent in the front, and that won't work. So I'm talking to the videographer here. The tripod it doesn't go down. So just interesting that we now have about 30 programs, I think, up on YouTube. And we have, WEFT has put them up on their webpage. And that is as a radio program, not as a video program. And we'll talk to you more about that later. I wanted to talk at least at the start to how wonderful it is to walk around the streets of Champaign at this time of the year. Probably a little bit about a week ago, and that is to look at the flowers that people have out on the front yards, the things that they've done to beautify this town. Those of us who live downtown don't get to see this sort of thing very often, but this week somebody wrote to me, copied to me a letter to that they'd sent to the city. The city is concerned about people growing material on corridors where there might be an interruption of the visual corridor. And there's one house on Elm Street that has always been a modest jungle of all sorts of things. And she has pulled out some of the tall prairie grasses that violate the corner. And she's put down visqueen to make sure those things die. But it included a sleepius or milkweed that could be used by pollinators or monarch butterflies. And so I went to see the city about this because people who are in that situation need to have a variance. and it's very near to where Bill lives, and it's got an interesting boulevard in the middle. Some of it is about two cars wide, some of it is one car wide, but it's lawn, and it's had a battle to survive because the fire trucks felt like they couldn't get in there and park. Now they've figured that the little bump-ups on the curb are enough to allow the trucks to operate properly, and it's rather nice to walk along that corridor.
I want to say something about that, because just this past weekend I wasn't here for it, but there was a dedication of a garden at the upper end of the 700 block of Elm Boulevard. This is one of those few, but not the only place in Champaign where there's a little oval of two one-lane lanes.
Yes.
Hence a boulevard. That's what a boulevard is supposed to be. And it's got a little park in the median, basically, that the park district maintains. But a garden went in there in dedication of Vincent Bellafiore,
uh-huh.
who was a resident who, among others, helped organize his neighbors against the city's plan in about 91 or 92
yes.
to do what Dave said, to basically take out half the median, because there were some parking issues, and every, you know, city department likes bigger and bigger vehicles over time, especially the fire department. They're like, oh, now we got too big of vehicles to go down a one-lane road.
And tree branches above can get in the way of long ladders and things like that.
So ultimately, the solutions were a gentleman's agreement that residents and their visitors would not park overnight in the one-lane lanes, and they would leave the median as is, and then they would put soft roll-over curbs.
And those rules are obeyed. There's not any cars parked on that narrow boulevard.
It's 25 years later, and it's great. Vince passed away fairly recently. He was head of the U of I Landscape Architecture Department.
Ah, okay.
And so in his honor, they've put in a prairie garden. We'll see how it develops at the north end of it's called Harris Park, but it's just south of John Street on Elm Boulevard.
And there's a nearby street called Prairie Street. It has a lot of people that have gardens like this to move out onto the streetscape that's owned by the city. And the city's been pretty tolerant. And
well, you mean the parkway.
But it's called a parkway? That's probably the term for it. But some gardens are really quite intriguing.
The street side of the sidewalk.
Some of them are little bumps in the corner. You can see through them. Some of them are trees that are pine trees that would normally have blue spruce would have branches down onto the ground and invade the corner. So they're popsicleized a little bit. The compromise is there.
Are you talking about the middle of the boulevard or over on Prairie Street with People's Prairie yards?
No, I'm talking about the south end of Elm Street, which does a dogleg.
And there's in Champaign.
There's a blue spruce there that has been pruned, which you don't usually do to blue spruce. But,
well, if I had my way, there'd be no conifers. what are they doing here?
I don't know. Well, that's enough to introduce us to that idea.
But what Dave was saying was if you're at a corner and there's vegetation on the corner, then you can't see the traffic coming. So that's what he means by sight lines.
Yes. So thanks for expanding.
it's not a beautification thing.
That's Bill and Dave's role often is to explain what I'm talking about.
So sorry I'm off camera saying this. I'll run some photos of said corner.
While I was there, I did see someone watering the brick street. We also have brick streets with a little bit of grass growing in between. Kind of interesting and kind of nice to rumble over in your car. But the spray,
watering or herbiciding?
Watering.
A resident?
A resident right near the south end where there's a nice corner garden.
I haven't seen that yet.
But half the spray was in the street.
Oh, I see.
And the water was running down the street.
I see. Euphemistically, watering the street.
If you were in California or Arizona, you would be a no-no now. But here we have some of the best water in the world. And
let's not forget California started off being a desert.
Yes. And so We have been lucky to have the Mahomet Aquifer, but we should not draw on it too much for water. If we can do the best we can to have native species, that's good. And prairie is native species. So
not too much need for watering in addition this year.
That's right.
I mean, it's finally dried out, and now we're
some plants have gotten so used to water that you really have to water them now.
Yes.
Because they've gotten used to it. There's a whole thing about wilting and trying to keep plants afloat. If plants get used to being fairly dry, they will survive. But if you give them lots of water, i.e., with rainfall. And they don't get it, then they will wilt fairly quickly.
Well, they had it in June. June, on average, statewide, was extremely wet.
Yes, and so I encourage you to get out of your car, take a walk around these places and see the gardens and see what people have done to make Champaign-Urbana a beautiful place.
Lots of people walk down Elm Boulevard. I mean, I did before I lived there.
Yes.
And Prairie, which is one street east.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of interesting yards there.
Yes, and a lot of the people on Prairie actually do grow in the parkway, you call it? Yes.
The space between the street and the sidewalk.
Yes, owned by the city.
One of the first things I did when I got here in town, which was almost 25 years ago, was go to city meetings on that topic, because they were wrestling with this, can a lawn be not a lawn but something else? And
yes.
That's where they developed at that time.
And sometimes you do put in understory plants. You put in jopai weed that can stand shade. And you beautify it in a different way so you don't have to waste that energy that goes into mowers. I'm really put out by acres and acres and acres of mown territory that takes out also the prairie plants.
Well, I could give you a review, a one-year owner's review of my electric mower. Put pictures into that, too. But you've got a lot to talk about here. So
yes.
I'm not on camera, so maybe you better do the talking.
So it's interesting that this relates to how we work with roadside prairies. And the visual we have up behind us is a roadside in the Allerton area where we have 33-mile railroad bed. And it's adjacent to the roads. Always the roads followed the railroads. The railroads came first. Before that, you came to town by the rivers. When it was flooded, you could come up the Sangamon River. But then you had railroads. You also had canals. The Erie Canal, for instance, always preceded the railroads, but the railroads were more flexible, so they came later. They came and obviated the use of the canals, which was kind of sad. But then the roads came when cars came in. There's a little bit of history there. Here, we are about to have a visit from someone from the National Rail Trail Movement. And part of the reason why is that I went to a 7-state Midwest Trail Movement meeting, and in that I talked to the regional director of Rails to Trails, who emanates from Ohio, and he just written a book on rails with trails. And my immediate question was, how much habitat are you taking out if you put a trail alongside an active line, which is what rails with trails implies? I would be evil-minded enough to say if it's a grain line and it's not used very much, let's put the rail trail on the rail and let both parallel. So this book was brand new for that conference, and so Eric Olberg must have kept that in his mind and talked to someone in the National Rail to Trails office. It's Elizabeth Strano, and she called to ask if she could take a look at Heartland Pathways and how it encourages habitat for animals and birds and bees and butterflies and everything, including the prairie plants and the prairie grasses that are on those lines. So we have agreed to do that, and she's coming on Saturday the 8th, and we hope that she will be here to give us a rail trail presentation on WEFT on that Sunday. She's modified her arrival in order to do that, so that's very kind. We're trying to work out what she wants to do, what she wants to discover. I had to ask a question: was she interested in being an ombudsman for all rail trails, or was she looking for a specific thing? A little bit of both, but we have some other issues. What I've done is put together a script that is more or less what I would dream of introducing Elizabeth to. She arrives at the airport, and I don't know what time yet, but we have activity on 45, Route 45. She comes in and stays at a motel in Havana. There's recent grid towers being put up there that have invaded what is called a construction easements under each pole that was put in, and under around each pole is taken out. So this is cooperatively been a place where they bridge the ditch alongside the road and put in huge equipment that drills the hole for a pedestal to support the towers. If you're in Glacial Till and you don't put a pedestal down, then the tower will gradually disappear into the landscape. So if you're in soft and sloppy backside of moraine territory, you will have a 10-foot wide pedestal going down, perhaps 30 feet. In some cases with a big tower, 60 feet. That's with rebar and the like. That's to try and prevent the tower from bending over or sinking into the ground. That means big equipment with big drills to drill the hole, and the equipment to stop the hole from caving in if necessary. So we have that construction easement now has been liberated, and the planting that the Ameren did is coming back into action. It suffered from some rain because the areas had been somewhat eroded, and the seed that was seeded in by a hydro seeder has flowed into the ditch. So I think there's been a recent planting because mulch has been put down too to stop more erosion. Now that's a concern to the village of Savoy. So we can look at that on the way into Champaign and Nabana. And then I'm thinking that we should have some sort of discussion about what we might be interested in. And one thing that I'm interested in is that we should have a trail so that you could leave Champaign and take 45 rather than 57 and go north to Kankakee. It could be the reverse. You get off 57 at Kankakee. You don't really get off 57 at Kankakee. The first 3 miles to Subance is parallel to the railroad line. The highway is actually on what used to be Route 45. So you parallel to sand dunes. The Kankakee River there is one of those glacial rivers that when the meltways dried up and the winds blew across, they created sand dunes. And so for that 3 miles, you get sand prairie. And the species are quite different. There's a little town there called Otto. You can go in and have a look if you want. But you don't really have to. You can see the prairie from that corridor. You come down from Subance all the way on 45. You get off of 57 at Subance and travel down 45. Well, we're in Havana, and we think that we'll reverse the case in this situation because we may not have the time to go north to Kankakee. Bill's taking times here because that's good because it means that when we try to put in pictures, we don't have to re-listen to this program. So
now, yes, we do.
It's not easy, folks. Sometimes it takes us 10 hours to put pictures into programs like this.
How do we make a movie out of this? We need a flyover of a map.
Anyway, we'll start off at Champaign. If you go to Cunningham Avenue, you have an old interurban all the way to Thomasboro. It's in agriculture, and it's only seen by the power lines. The interurban was an electrical event, and it needed catenaries. So the power lines went in where the interurbans were, and that's where many of these communities got their first electricity. It was from the interurban lines. So you can follow them all the way to Thomasboro. Just before you get into Thomasboro, there is a little forest with a prairie in front of it. And we've had a great deal of problem making sure that that doesn't get mown. And I'm pleased to say, and I congratulate the Department of Transportation, there are signs on it at the moment that say no mow. And we really are very pleased about that. Next door, where the farmer owns the territory, it's mown very much like a billiard table. But right in front of the forest, the prairie is growing. And I could take you to the very mown area and say, that's where cordgrass would grow if you only let it grow. So we have a lot of educating to do. There are countless millions of acres of ground being mown with energy that we don't really have and don't really need. If we could be more sensible about how we mow, do we need to mow everything? Can we have an interspersion of prairie with the mown territories? The mown territories make a statement, so that's okay. We keep mowers ourselves, so we mow around our prairies, so somebody that comes along knows that we care about them. This is not just a bunch of weeds, folks. So that little plot says something about how we work with interurbans. We go a little further along, and the road parallels the Illinois Central. We have two plats. A plat is how you put in your roads. And the Jeffersonian plat is north, south, east, and west, and it's square. The Illinois Central, however, was given money to put in a railroad, and it goes at a diagonal. So you have to know that sometimes your roads run parallel to the Illinois Central plat, and sometimes they take the Jeffersonian plat. So that's kind of interesting. You get into a road alongside the Air Force Base, and it's summarily mown. With various administrations, we've been able to have that area not mown, and it is alive with prairie. The same goes for the north side of Rantoul, where prairie exists under the mown territory. You can't expect a prairie to do that for too long. If you mow prairie, it will eventually give out, because you have to have enough nutriment from the leaves to make the roots and the shoots work. And so the rough, tough ones with a 10-foot taproot will remain. So sometimes you will see a very mown prairie with compass plant or dock in the middle of it, growing very well because they have a 10, 12-foot root like a carrot about the size of your leg. And we enjoy that because it just means that the prairie is surviving. Now, we're going to go to a 9-acre prairie that's just north of the cemetery. And there is an old road to Egypt. Egypt is that part of the south of Illinois, which has Cairo and other places that
sound
like.
And it's the confluence of the major rivers, the Ohio and the Mississippi.
Yes, but the name of the towns comes from the fact that people got involved in Egyptology. They opened
Cairo, Memphis.
Yes, yes.
And slavery.
Yes. So it's an area that you got to by this road when it was a corduroy road. Corduroy road means you put down trees, saplings, at right angles to the road, and so your horse-drawn vehicles wouldn't sink into the mud. So it took you 3 days to get to Cairo. But anyway, that road was too narrow to put a dual highway in north of Rantoul. So they put the Nunu 45 around the cemetery. But by that time, the transportation world had decided to put in Route 57 further west. So it replaced the concept of a two-lane highway. So there's one-lane highway and there's leftover ground. Some of it is mown because it's in front of a cemetery and it looks good. Some of it is not mown. One place is an experimental place where the Department of Transportation is growing various grasses to see how they can grow native grasses on the roadside. That's very good. I'd like to see that. But it also leaves one of the legs of the two-lane road is a road that parallels. It's a sort of a side road. There's a name for it.
Frontage road.
Frontage road is the name. And the frontage road allows you to connect to that old Route 45, which started off as a corduroy road and then became in the Depression era, it became concreted, and in some places asphalt, but over the concrete. But it's still there, and we have 9-acre prairie there. So we're coming out of Rantoul, just north of Rantoul, and you'll see a big Lutheran church on the right. Just before that, there was a pumpkin vine. A pumpkin vine came through from Leroy, a little railroad line, basically east, north, south, east, and west. All the railroads were sort of parallel. You just had to have enough of them that your horse didn't have to go more than 8 miles to get to an elevator. So there is Leroy and Lotus and Fisher and Dewey and into Rantoul and the Fisher Grain and Coal Company at the time used that line. They, instead of it being abandoned, which the main pumpkin vine, because it waddles, you know, when it goes past a river or a creek, then Jeffersonian plat doesn't work anymore. You have to have it on the contour. So the pumpkin vine waddles its way through from east central Illinois to Lafayette, Indiana, and connects with other railroads.
So it's more than a short line, or is it still a short line?
It was a main line at the time. Not a major line like the one from Chicago to Cairo or New Orleans, but it was a major line. So Fisher Grain and Coal Company kept 8 miles to Dewey. We saved a bridge that would have allowed Fisher to bring its grain into Dewey. But they bought an engine, and they can take out 25 cars to Rantoul. They had also, on the east side of the Illinois Central, they had a line to Dillsburg, about 6 miles and up onto the Bloomington Moraine, and we dearly wanted to save that for a trail. The Fisher Grain and Coal Company donated 3 miles of urban railroad bed, plus the yards that would go with a railroad. You have to have assembly yards where you can assemble trains and the like, and store trains. So that has had probably about $2 million put into it, and it's been converted to a trail, which is very popular. Every time I go there, I see people on it. It, for those that are local, it goes to where there used to be a Walmart building, and we had hoped that would go up the hill. Not so. The farmers that were mostly associated with Fisher Grain and Coal Company wanted it back as farmland. We wanted to tell them that this was undisturbed soil, not chemicalized, and we really would appreciate it that being so little of this sort of soil left in the state that this would be their contribution to the world at large to leave it. They took out the bridge, and now it's agriculture. So goes more prairie. Somebody just recently asked me how our conservation efforts have saved prairie, and we have to say, well, it hasn't. Actually, the amount of prairie left has gone down. It's now about 0.01% of what was in Illinois, which was about two-thirds prairie. So we're losing it at a rapid rate. And since you now have equipment can back itself up into small corners that were prairie, they're going too. Keeping this bed would be good. We also wanted to keep it because on this same abandonment from Penfield through towards the Indiana border, there was really good prairie on the railroad. So we made it possible for there to be a short line prairie that's 1 mile long. It's 100 feet wide mostly, and it survived, and that helped it create the Grand Prairie Friends, which cares about prairie. So as we go through Rantoul, we look to the left, agriculture, railroad, Fisher, Dewey Fisher, train coming in, and to the right, which is a rail trail. And
if we're going north.
And then we go north.
If we're traveling north. I want to take this opportunity to let you know you're listening to the Prairie Monk. That's Dave Monk on WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM, your community radio station in East Central Illinois.
So
we're on a road trip.
Yes, we're on a road trip.
My name is Bill Saylor, sitting in this week. By the way, about the road history, the Illinois Department of Transportation has scanned every edition of state road map they ever put out, going back to the teens, I think, 19-teens. Uh-huh. You find the Illinois Department of Transportation website. Somewhere there's a link to maps, and somewhere there's historic maps that you can kind of flip through. And now, the early ones are very kind of generic, but they often give some hint of what the road surface is or capacity. So it's interesting.
Excellent.
To browse through those.
So we need people like Bill to help us to put in here pictures also, so that people know where they are. And I would just love to get this script we have today to Elizabeth Stringer.
I know, in a week.
so that she could more or less put it on a thumb drive and put it into her laptop and see what she's looking at as she drives around. So we haven't quite got there yet, but we need it for you folk, little folk out there that would like to take a bike ride to Rantoul and further north. We're at Rantoul, and we're going up gently up this Bloomington Moraine. This is one of the huge mountains of East Central Illinois. It's about 200 feet high, but this is the high point.
Over how many miles to go up your 200 feet?
Yes, it's gently up, and the backside is sort of more slightly.
But you will get a view from there.
Yes,
maybe not with the 8-foot corn, but
well, yes, you can. Stand
some,
on
some,
the top of the moraine
seasons,
and look.
Yeah.
So this is what we'll be taking Elizabeth to, we've seen the Department of Transportation experimental plots. We've seen that they have a garage there, which they don't use anymore because untowards people would tend to put a bullet through the gas tanks of the tractors and things they left there, so they don't use it. But they do store concrete blocks and gravel and stuff like on the old Route 45. Okay, now we've gone around the corner. We're going to bend out around the cemetery, and we're coming to the Maple Woods Cemetery. And in front of it, there's the unused dual highway, which is mown. Oh, wow, it's mown this way, then this way. it's one of those expression of mowing that you all so like to see, but and it's got an aesthetic to it, but in our evil minds, that's where prairie would have been. But you're on the wetland end. You're on the moraine is dribbling out its water, and you're getting flat filled. So this is a real example of what was, and you can't grow anything in it because it is wet. And as it's rained lately, it is more than wet. And we would love to buy that corridor. We would hate to see it filled with 250 million tons of soil and put a Walmart on it. We would like to preserve it. So now we're in the cemetery, and the cemetery has history. Oh, wow. You could get a high school class there for a semester, and they could do a history of Rantoul. So Rantoul before it was an Air Force base, Rantoul after an Air Force base, Rantoul now. And now the cemetery has bought, right north of it, this is 15 acres of arable land that can be grown with crops. They've bought 6 acres to allow for expansion of the cemetery. They're looking ahead 200 years. They'll need space for people to be buried. So they bought that. And guess what? They put in a modest prairie. And the cemetery has been very helpful. The little road that we're going to get to at the back of the cemetery is loaded with junk that gets dumped by people. And they have some equipment that they can lift a mattress. They can lift a sodden carpet. They can lift a rollaway bed. They can lift junk. Some of the junk I am worried about because Rantoul has had a plethora of emerald ash borer, and we're getting little lumps of trees, and I haven't got to the entomologist yet, but you can check on an emerald ash borer hole. It's flat on the bottom and round at the top. So I'm just worried. We could do without having that sort of material dumped. So we have signs up all over the place. But so there's 15 acres there. Six has been bought by the cemetery. And wow, we are in Mezick's territory, middle level material. And so up, there's 9 acres there that we'd like to buy and extend the 9-acre prairie, which we have a little higher, and it's Mezick too. And opposite that is the Illinois Central Railroad. Then there was an old interurban. Then there was the old road to Egypt. Then there was a gravel pit, and we've got 9-acre gravel pit, which had remnant prairie around it and remnant prairie on the railroad, and we can dipsy-doodle seed into the prairie and encourage its growth to be something more like it was in 1830 before settlement. So it's growing very nicely, and this week we had Ron Sleater came from Decatur, and he's been watching the teasel. The cemetery has a weed that is a memorable weed for people who are into dried arrangements. It has a nice pod with lots of spikes on it, and it was used historically to tease wool so that you make a thread and then weave. It looks good in a dried arrangement. It goes into wreaths, and it spreads at a riotous rate because each pod has a gazillion seeds in it. And if one doesn't grow this year, it grows next year, sometime never, or sometime ever. And so we were herbiciding teasel. We've been at it for 4 years. The prairie is looking free of teasel. It's not actually. Teasel is a biennial, and it keeps growing. So we have to be at it all the time. But very pleasing to see the butterflies and the birds and the creatures growing there, and the remnant is thereby. And there's a little stream that comes through it. We would love to buy the extra 9 acres, plus the area which might be 40 acres south of the cemetery that would be good for a wetland. Okay, we're going up the hill, and we're going to look at... We might put a few pictures in. If we have a moment, we'll put a few pictures of the plants that are growing there now. And we're going up, and at the top of the hill, it's dry. So you have a dry spectrum. And before you go to Ludlow, you get a dry spectrum of species. And go down to Ludlow, the backside of the moraine, so you're in a saddle. To Rantoul is going to Rantoul and it's going to Salt Fork. Water on the other side is going north. So we go through Ludlow, a beautiful elevator there. We go through the little town rather than take the ring road round Ludlow. And there's still prairie alongside the railroad. And you still have that extra width of railroad, interurban road. And the road actually travels on some of that territory. So we lost a little bit of the width. But you go across an outwash plain creek to the Paxton Moraine. And in the Paxton Moraine, in front of it, there's, as the road goes back and bent around a little bit onto old Route 45, this lead plant and this purple clover, and it's all out at the moment, and it's really boggles your mind if you're a prairie nut. It probably doesn't bog your mind if you're wanting to mow things and make it look crisp and tidy. Then you go up the road a little bit, and there's Prospect Cemetery. You take the first road on the right, and there's a cemetery. And it's wonderful prairie. It's the reserve area that hasn't ever been planted to tombstones is there. There's tombstones in it. There are some people who are really attuned to mowing that territory. And it was not too long ago we had a meeting with 100 people objecting to the possible mowing there. So that's sort of saved, and it's a state park in effect. A little further on, probably won't go a little further on, you get Loder, and where the Grand Prairie Friends has been putting a buffer zone around a good prairie, a reserve prairie again, in a cemetery. And the railroad line is absolutely loaded with prairie, all the way to Park Forest South. And Jack White has done a study of this and sort of surprised himself that there's a lot of stuff preserved here. And then you have to imagine that academia is wanting to get to Chicago, and they're looking at the idea of a fast train through here. And so where do you put the fast train? It's usually a dedicated corridor with no freight trains on it. It's often pedestalized. So can we think now for a fast train in 100 years' time? And can the prairie go under the railroad line? So some of this sort of thinking is long range. So we keep going north. At Ludlow, you could go east to a wetland, which is the forest preserve. So you can visit off of here. If you go up to Chabance and those areas, you're getting into the Iroquois River. And you have Cajuns that came from Canada escaping from there's a French-based community, Larab, there. And it's on the Iroquois River, which wasn't too far from Chicago and Kankakee. So you had contraband liquor there in Prohibition era. You had the mafioso, so there's interesting history here and around. So we turn around. We only go as far as Paxton because we don't have time to go too far. So we're coming back, and we come straight back on the Jeffersonian Platte, and we land on Route 150, and we look at what we do on 150. Okay, 10 minutes. There's too much to say here.
I was just in Louisville last weekend or so. You can take 150 to that part of the country.
Ah.
It turns south in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go maybe Bloomington, Indiana? I forget, but yeah. I was surprised to find it on the map down there. But you could, but it's two lanes a lot of the way. So
well, yes.
Didn't do it that way.
150 is basically east-west across the state.
This state, and, yes.
Yes.
Well, no, because it goes north. Doesn't it go to Quad Cities?
It goes through Bloomington.
Well, sure it does. Here it does. Danville, here, Bloomington.
Yes.
But it takes turns north and south.
Uh-huh.
Different places.
It's been widened, and we didn't get enough money to buy this corridor, then CSX, the railroad company, bought it, and they sold 25 feet by 5 miles for road widening. So the road just east of Urbana has been widened and lifted up 2 feet because there was a bird bath there.
So the two is always wet.
Yes.
Like you were saying about the other stretch.
Yes. And so that's been rectified now. We have lost a lot of prairie. It's been salvaged. The Forest Preserve has done a good job of trying to save this. It will be replanted, and I think the Forest Preserve will have something to do with the replanting. A lot of the prairie soil that was taken out in order to make the widening and ditches on either side has been put up against the road. So you have to know that those areas will be growing grass, not prairie, which is unfortunate.
Just too close to the road for visual maintenance.
Yes, so that's where you do have some mowing.
The whole time you're talking, I'm looking at your backdrop photo in which the 15, 20 feet, I don't know how, maybe it's not even that, of your road behind you in your photo backdrop. It's prairie on the unmown side. Left to grow. And where it's mown, it's all chicory and Queen Anne's lace.
Yes, and I get asked how can we stop the chicory from growing? And I said, just don't mow it. Because it's one of these plants that has a rosette. And if you cut it off, it grows better. And it enjoys it. So chicory, and you might see some white plants which are Queen Anne's lace. Yeah. And that's not exactly prairie, but it wouldn't hurt to leave it unmown for a while.
That's the point.
So, okay, we're at 150. We're looking at the salvaged area. And actually, as they made ditches, they've given the Forest Preserve something like 50 tandem truckloads of prairie soil, which has gone to the Forest Preserve about 3 or 4 miles away. And it will grow. It will grow a lot of weeds to start with, but it will have prairie plants in the seed in the soil.
That's good for you to mention, because that's something that people just don't see out in the landscape, that process of, we're going to save the soil itself and the resources in the soil.
They don't think about the soil and its multitude of microorganisms in it. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 150. If we look at some places, the drains have been taken out, which is not so good for bicyclists because the willows grow in the drain, and we have to think about those things. We have to think about how we reseed, whether the seed is low-bid seed from Kansas or whether it's original seed from Illinois, which is hand-picked and more expensive. How do you plant it? How do you roll it afterwards? Because prairie likes to be in a firm atmosphere or soil. We don't have any fertilizer. Fertilizer will bring you weeds, folks. Weeds that are tuned to fertilizer and moisture and soft soil. So we harden the soil, and prairie can handle that. Do you plant it in winter? Do you plant it in spring? Do you plant it in June? These are all questions that we will discuss with Elizabeth as she goes around. So once we've got there, we're going to spend 5 minutes on the west side. We bought 33 mile railroad bed between Monticello and Cisco and Clinton, and so we would turn around on Sunday after having Elizabeth on the radio. We hope to then go to that corridor. It's awkward corridor because we did that to save it for prairie, but also for railroading, and that was long before there was a rail banking act. So we don't have the advantages of enhancement money and quieting of the bridges and quieting of the titles that were awkward. So we're hoping that this visit will help to make it possible for us to do things. Monticello City itself has put in a Sangamon Bridge Trail, went across one of our three truss bridges, and it's been extended by popular command. And then we have 4 miles of native prairie there. It has rattlesnakes on it in places, so the university has, with Allerton Park, we're adjacent to it, and they've given us 66 feet by a mile. Next door to Armenia, and so there's natural history there. It's up to us to try and teach people what a prairie is, because really it looks like weeds, and sometimes we do have weeds. We have a terrible tree weed, which is an olive tree, which was brought with olives that would help birds, but wow, it has become a regional weed and an annoyance. So we have lots of things that could be done out there, but in order to do this, we have to have administrative people. We have to have dreamers who can do it, and we have to be a little bit in advance of farmers who would like to put it into corn and soybeans. So that line We gathered up a place called Shady Rest, and that 30 acres is now in the Piatt County Forest Reserve in perpetuity. Then we go across to Lodge, DeLand, Weldon, Lane, and across to another water system, which is Salt Creek and the Hensley Moraine, and a very popular state park called Weldon Spring State Park. And we hope that we'll have time to get there. The 5 miles of this rail bed can join Weldon Spring State Park with Clinton Power Plant State Park. So
this is the Heartland Pathways.
Yes. So reach. I'm hoping that Elizabeth is going to be more than just looking at how we grow prairie alongside the railroad, but how we institute a railroad.
It's almost time for Music of India here on WEFT, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. You've been listening to The Prairie Monk. That's Dave Monk. I'm Bill Saylor, just working the board here. And we want to thank you for your kind attention, everybody.
And I think that's...
As we often
that's
hear.
That's it, and we hope that some of you will get to meet Elizabeth Strano when she comes from Rails to Trails, and we're rather excited.
That's later this week, then.
Yes.
Then today is Saturday August 2nd. Today is August 2nd, 2015.
Thank you.
That's what we got to sing. So we're going to actually pick up with some more Spike Driver blues from Jerry Garcia and John Kahn, recorded in 1986. But this has been
The Grateful Dead is a program that's up for discussion at the moment, because it costs to get that program, and we're hoping that people will help to provide enough money to keep the Grateful Dead in contact on the West. It's been here for probably the best part of 30 years, and they're a supporter.
I was wearing a WEF t-shirt yesterday, and I had two different conversations about it from people who have WEF connections from the 80s. Uh-huh. One of them was about that show.
Uh-huh.
Another one was a former DJ who was at a booth at the market. You know how that goes.
Okay.
So this has been
Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial. And get out there and look at things and stop and scratch and look at somebody came to me with an insect on the end of a, it was a praying mantis on the end of a little stick, and they put it in a little prairie across the road.
So. All right. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us later on Urbana Public Access TV and hopefully on YouTube. This is WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Views and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Prairie Air Incorporated. Stay tuned next for us through Deep Music of India.